Well, as Marshall has already indicated, we're in our second week now on our series on prayer, which we've called Encounter. And hopefully we'll get the logo up on the screen in just a moment. Wonderful. And having got up there, can we press straight onto the next one, please? So last week, we opened up this series by talking about and asking the question, why do we pray? There could be many reasons why people pray. Sometimes out of fear, sometimes out of guilt, sometimes out of a sense of duty. But we looked at one compelling reason that I shared that I felt for praying. It's because we are an invited people, that God invites us to be still and to know that He is God. And we talked about how prayer is not a means of me initiating God's presence as if I'm opening up a little window when I remember for God to peek into my world just long enough for me to share with Him what I'd like Him to do next, but actually that prayer is an invitation of God for us to open up our hearts and our lives to the reality of His presence with me, which He promises is constant, whether I see it or feel it all the time or not. That prayer is the means that God has provided for us of connecting with Him and with His world, moment by moment, every day. Whether that's in times of uninterrupted conversation with Him that we carve out in our timetable, or whether it's in just snatched moments in the middle of the busyness and the noise of the day. Prayer is God's provision for us to encounter Him and to bring ourselves, our lives, our thoughts, our actions, our words into sync with Him. You know how when you kind of plug your iPod into the computer or a device and the two things sync up together? Well, prayer is a little bit like that. It's us connecting with God and just placing ourselves at His feet so that we sync up with Him. It's about praying prayers like, Father, what have you planned for me today? And how can I enter into it? Father, what do you want for me to see or hear or do or think or give thanks for right now in this situation, in this moment? And Father, will you please give me everything I need? Will you please release to me now all the resources of heaven through your Holy Spirit living in me, just as you promised right now to help me? I wonder how you've got on this week in prayer. As I'd encourage us, let's not just be hearers of the word, when we hear words of instruction and encouragement, but let's be doers of the word. Let's dare to believe that we can be still and know God in our lives. And let's press into that with everything that we have. And we'll all have days when we feel like our hearts have really been open to Him, we've really encountered Him. And there'll be days when we struggle to bring our thoughts and our hearts into connection with God. But let's keep pressing in together and believing that we're going to experience more of Him as we pray. And let's tell our stories. Just encourage you, tell your stories of breakthroughs and of struggles. Let's encourage one another. How have you done this week in prayer? Let me tell you a story about my prayer this week. Sometimes I like when the weather's nice to kind of walk and pray. And I think it was Wednesday, I was walking along the railway track, not actually on the track, you understand, on the path. I don't get that lost in prayer. And it was beautiful, and I had a great time just talking with God and listening to Him. And I was coming back along Bure Valley Lane, and I caught up as I was on that road with a guy who'd I'd seen just walking in front of me as I'd been praying. He'd been walking his dog. And just as we got into Bure Valley Lane, I caught up with him. And so I just felt stirred to kind of say hi. So I said hi. And he kind of went, hmm. I said, how are you doing? It's a gorgeous morning, isn't it? To which he said, might be if you're not ill and just about to go to work. I didn't think that was the most promising start, but, you know, I'm persistent. So I kind of tried to move the conversation on a little bit. I said, well, yeah, what work do you do? And here this guy now thinks that I'm stalking him, or and he said, security. I don't know if that was the truth or whether he was just trying to intimidate me and get me away from him. But then I'm thinking, you know, this guy's just told me he's not feeling well, he's got to go to work. I've just been praying. I remember the words of a guy called Vic Gledhill, who's a kind of pastor, and he said that when he's in conversation with people and people tell him stuff like they're not well or they've got a difficult situation, he gets this little voice in his head, which he thinks is the Holy Spirit saying, "You shouldn't have told me that, because I'm going to offer to pray for you now." And so I'm walking along with this guy who's not exactly being open and kind of forthcoming, but I'm just feeling that stirring, maybe I should offer to pray for him. And I'm just thinking about how can I get the conversation from, "What's your work?" "Security." To, "I believe in a God who can heal. How can I pray for you?" And I'm plucking up courage to do that, and I just turn round to, I don't know what I'm going to say, but just to try and say something. And I notice he's gone up his driveway and he's going into his house. So. But I prayed for him. He didn't realize it, but I prayed for him. I brought God into that situation as he prompted me. He didn't realize it maybe, but I did. You've probably got more encouraging stories than I have about prayer this week. But let's just keep pressing in to God in that and share our stories. So in prayer, we get to encounter God. That's why we've named this series Encounter. And it's the glory of the gospel and the grace of God that we can do that. We can encounter God with confidence and without fear through Jesus. And in prayer, we get not just to draw close to God, to be known, but also to know him. I wonder if I can have the next slide up, please. We get to draw close to him, not just to be known, but to know him personally and as deeply and as intimately as we're willing to pursue. We get to draw close to him, to sink our hearts with God, to touch God's heart. It's not a cold, mechanical thing. In humility, we can come, the Bible says, and build friendship with the God who made us and holds our lives in the palm of his hands. And that's not just a nice, kind of fluffy Christian thought. It's what the Bible tells us, isn't it? Abraham and Moses were described how as friends of God. David was described as a man after God's own heart. Jesus told his followers, "You're my friends if you do what I command." And he explained, "I no longer call you servants because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from the Father, I have made known to you." Jesus, God's Son, came to reveal the heart of God towards us and draw us into relationship with God as Father through himself. And in doing so, he invites us into partnership with him in God's work. And in that, he amazingly says that we do that not as hired hands, but as friends. He invites us to be friends with God. And a guy called Philip Yancey, I've been reading one of his books. We're going to kind of recommend some books to do with prayer that are really helpful. One by Philip Yancey called Prayer, Does It Make a Difference? And he says this. He says, prayer is the currency of friendship. God calls us into friendship with himself. Not just to be known, but to know him. And he says, prayer is the currency of that friendship. I wonder, who are your friends? Who are your friends? See, at the top of that list can be God, your Father. If you come to him, if you've been made right with him through his Son, Jesus, then God is the top of that list. So if prayer is the currency of friendship, the conversation that enables us to grow in relationship with God, what should that conversation look like? What should it sound like? That's the question I want to address today. What can we talk with God about? What do we pray about? Johnny was a very bright 6-year-old, and he told his daddy one day that he would like to have a baby brother. And along with his request, he offered to do whatever he could to help. His dad paused for a moment and then replied, "I tell you what, Johnny, if you pray every day for 2 months for a baby brother, I guarantee that God will give you one." Think about that. Johnny responded eagerly to his dad's challenge and went to his bedroom early that night to start praying for a baby brother. He prayed every night for a whole month. But after that time, he began to get a little bit skeptical. He checked it out with his friends at school, and they said it was a crazy idea. You don't just pray for 2 months and then whammo, a new baby brother. So Johnny quit praying. After another month, Johnny's mother went to the hospital. And when she came back home, Johnny's parents called him into the bedroom. He cautiously walked into the room, not expecting to find anything. And there was a little bundle lying right next to his mother. His dad pulled back the blanket, and there was not one baby brother, but two. His mother had had twins. And Johnny's dad looked down at him and said, "Now aren't you glad you prayed?" Johnny hesitated a little, then looked up his dad and said, "Yes, but aren't you glad I quit when I did?" So what do we talk about with God in prayer? This currency of friendship. What do we talk about? Before we look at some Bible verses, I'm going to ask the question, well, what do we talk about with our other friends? With some friends that we have, I guess our conversation will be kind of quite surface, quite lightweight stuff. What did you do at the weekend? Did you see X Factor last night? And that's not demeaning. We need that. That's important. And with some friends, you might kind of talk about ideas and opinions. What do you think of this? What do you think will happen if I do this or go and do that? With others, maybe a few more intimate friends, we might share deeper. We might share emotions, we might share vulnerability, frustrations, joy, temptations, doubts, dreams. And for most of us, that probably only comes after a long investment of time and openness together with that particular friend. But we're able to do that because we feel safe. We're not worried about being judged or dismissed or gossiped about. Well, I would suggest that surely friendship with God should encompass all those levels too. If we have the next. God cares, the Bible tells us, about ordinary, everyday stuff in our lives as well as the big things. So we should feel able and confident about bringing to God our sins and our failures, and confession and repentance, feeling safe because we're not worried about being condemned or judged. We should be able to bring our triumphs and our joys in praise and thanksgiving. We should be able to bring our frustrations and our doubts, our worries and our concerns in petition and intercession, our questions and our heart's desires. There's nothing too big for God to handle or too small for him to care about. The Bible says this: we should pray about all things, in all circumstances, and on all occasions. I mean, you don't get much more kind of blanket than that. All things we can bring together and talk with God about, from the big stuff to the everyday stuff. If we go to the next. So this is something that Jesus said. He said, "Your Father knows what you need before you ask him." Have you ever wondered about that statement? Jesus said, "Your Father knows what you need before you ask him." Is Jesus saying, therefore, that prayer is unnecessary? Because God already knows, so we don't need to bother? No, I don't believe that for a second. That would fly in the face of every other part of Jesus' teaching on prayer and his own example and lifestyle. What Jesus is doing here is he is reassuring us that the Father knows everything that is going on in our lives and our hearts and cares more about those things than we probably grasp. And he is waiting for us to bring those things to him, to care with him in relationship, in friendship. And it's crazy to think that we could hide anything from God. Jesus says we shouldn't try. Your Father knows already what you need. Don't bother trying to conceal things. Be real. You know, the Bible's full of very real prayers, isn't it? If you read through the Psalms, many of them kind of full of lament and moan, right through to Jesus at Gethsemane and on the cross when he prays, prayers of real reality and authenticity. Prayer that God desires is not about a babbling kind of ritual or an affected manner, but it's about deep down honesty and authenticity with a God who knows us better than we know ourselves. Prayer is an invitation to authenticity with God, not pretending, but just being open, because our God already knows everything that's on our hearts. The author C.S. Lewis talked about this being known by God, that we are objects of divine knowledge. And he says this: That is our destiny, whether we like it or not. But though this knowledge never varies, the quality of our being known can. In other words, there is something very special that happens when we are being deep down honest and open in conversation with God. Philip Yancey, the author that I quoted a little while ago, says this. He says, we can assent with all our view to being known. We can unveil our hearts before God. And we can offer ourselves to view. Even though God already knows everything. And he says, when we do that, putting ourselves on a personal footing with God, so to speak, relationship heats up and a potential for extraordinary friendship stirs to life. For God is a person too, and though a person unlike ourselves, one who surely fulfills more of what that word means, not less. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you, is the promise of God's word. As we open our hearts to God, he opens his heart to us. What might that flow look like? That conversation, that currency of friendship that encompasses the eternal down to the everyday. What does God encourage us in his word and in his teaching through his son to enter into conversation with him about in that encounter? Well, Jesus gave his followers some pointers when they asked him to teach them how to pray. I want to think about a few of those. Good starting point when we come in encounter with God in prayer is to remember and celebrate who it is that we're encountering. Jesus said, when you pray, pray our Father in heaven, holy is your name. So often in prayer, we start with us, don't we? We start with me, we start with where I am, we start with my needs, what I'm feeling. Jesus reminds us, hey, we're not the starting point in anything. God is always. Whatever needs might stir us to pray, our greatest need is always to know God and to find our delight and our strength and our peace in knowing him as a perfect Father, a Father who loves us, who is always good, who is always seeking our best, who is always with us. Our Father in heaven, when Jesus spoke these words, they were radical beyond belief. Before Jesus spoke those words, well, God had referred to himself as Father a few times in Scripture, in the Old Testament, but no one else dared to. The name of God was far too holy. But Jesus says, when you pray, it's our Father in heaven. I wonder how you think Jesus said those words. Do you think he said, our Father in heaven, holy is your name? Or do you think he said it with a smile on his face and a twinkle in his eye? I think so. I wonder if we have the next click up, please. There is nothing better when we come in prayer to encounter God than to worship him. So what we're going to be doing this week in our week of prayer, it's going to be a part of everything that we do. And particularly, we're going to bookend our week of prayer with worship. Tonight, we're going to have an evening when we're going to gather together and we're going to worship. And we're going to give ourselves to worship God. And then on Friday night, we're going to do the same. I'm going to say a little bit more about that right at the end. And you know, I'm finding more and more in my times of prayer, I'm just wanting to spend time worshiping God. It doesn't have to be singing. I mean, maybe you've got a great singing voice and you love to sing to God. But it can just be declaring his praises. God, you're so great. God, you're so great. If you're feeling joyful, then that just trips off the tongue. If you're feeling low or in difficult circumstances, you know, that's a powerful declaration of truth and trust that is going to strengthen you as you come in prayer. It's starting with God. God, you are great. You know, worship as part of prayer is not just a kind of a precursor to the real stuff. It's not us getting warmed up for the important stuff of prayer. Worship in prayer is not like a transaction with a cosmic vending machine where we put in a bit of worship and then we get out what we're hoping to. It's the purpose of encounter, that we might delight in him more and more. It's God's invitation to us to enjoy him. It does us good, it fills us with faith, and it's right, it's totally appropriate. God is great, we should worship him, and it does us good. We've looked before at the believer's prayer in Acts chapter 4. And we've looked at that amazing prayer and how 75% of it, the first three quarters of that prayer, is all worship and declaration of God's greatness and his sovereignty. And then the last quarter is then presenting requests to God. We should worship God and enjoy it and build it into our prayer times. God is holy. He's very different. He's other than us. He is worthy of praise. We've been focusing on that in our worship this morning. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. But this holiness, this otherness, rather than being something that disconnects us from him, actually is the means by which we're able to connect. It's the means by which he's able to draw close to and hear and answer the prayers of every heart, of every person across the face of this earth. And as we worship, there comes a very startling realization, doesn't there? Well, at least I hope there does. And that is that you're God and I'm not. And on one hand, that's very liberating and that's very reassuring to be reminded that the world doesn't revolve around me or depend on my resources or my understanding to work things out. On the other hand, it's a little bit scary. Because the flip side is that if it's really true in my life that he's God and I'm not, then I need to be willing to let go of my determination to be the one who ultimately shapes my life and to let God be God. And so in prayer, God invites us to take that step of faith, day by day and moment by moment, in praying, your kingdom come and your will be done. I wonder if we could click the next. Thank you. I don't know. I think your kingdom come, we tend to kind of think about praying your kingdom come in very big terms, almost in terms that are kind of divorced from our everyday life. Lord, would you come in revival? Lord, would you change our nation? Your kingdom come. Lord, would you save our community? Your kingdom come. Would you heal the sick and set the prisoners free? Your kingdom come. Somehow it seems a little bit kind of divorced from everyday reality of my life, a prayer like that. But of course we know, don't we, that God's kingdom comes one life at a time. And as we begin to trust God and submit to his will for our lives, as we live day by day, praying, help me put you and your kingdom first in this moment today. So we pray things like, Father, my work colleague is being really petty and spiteful to me, and I don't know why. And I really want to take their lunch out of the fridge and put it in the bin. But I want your kingdom to come, and I want your will to be done in me. Please help me. It's praying things like, God, I know my elderly neighbour's out in his garden and he's struggling to mow his lawn. And I could help, but I'm tired and I've just sat down and the game's starting in a few minutes. But Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done. Will you help me? Or Father, my wife or my husband or my friends are being really critical today. I'm dying to point out a few of their faults. But Lord, your kingdom come and your will be done. Please help me. Or you're waiting in the playground to pick your kids up after school and you're chatting to some other parents and one of them was talking about the prayer they say in assembly. And you're thinking, I wonder if I should say something. Simon was speaking about prayer last Sunday and he made some brilliant points, but I can't remember any of them. If I stick my neck out and say something, they're just going to think I'm an idiot. But I want your kingdom to come, and I want your will to be done. Please, God, would you help me? Help me put you first in this moment, Lord, to seek your kingdom, trusting that you promised to help me and work out all the details that I don't know and understand. Lord, your kingdom come. Your will be done. How do we know God's will? How do we hear his voice? You know, we can listen to the big booming voice of God recorded in the Bible. And we can learn to wait and listen with expectant and obedient hearts to the whispers and the nudges of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. A guy called John Burke in a book, The Soul Revolution, says this: what we need actually most is not more booming commands. We've got those, you read them in the Bible. What we need is humble, willing hearts, quiet and ready to listen and respond. And that's the case whether we're praying about big life-shaping decisions that we have to make, or the 101 other smaller decisions that we make every day in our lives, but that God can sometimes use to impact ours and others' lives for his kingdom. As we pray, what do you want, God? We begin to touch and to know and to grow in our desire for what's on God's heart. We begin to touch God's heart and allow his heart to touch ours. And that's not easy. It's not easy to pray like that. First of all, it takes more time. It takes more time than just telling God what we want, doesn't it? And it may lead us down a different path from the one that we'd planned. And it may possibly demand more from us. God may have plans for us to play that we weren't banking on. But what's more exciting? Reciting our plans to God, name-checking him for his divine stamp of approval, or genuinely asking God, what's your will for my life? What's your will for this decision I've got to make? What's your will right now in this moment with this decision that I'm faced, with this nagging thought that I ought to be doing this or saying that, speaking to this guy who says he's insecurity and has just kind of brushed me off? What does God invite us to talk with him about next? Can we have the next clip up? God invites us to talk with him about what concerns us and to ask him for what we need. Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread. When you pray to God, come before him with that request. Philippians 4 says, in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Charles Spurgeon, that famous old preacher, one of his famous quotes was this: whether we like it or not, asking is the rule of God's kingdom. Jesus invites us to come and ask. He says, give us this day our daily bread. You know, it's okay to talk with God about the things that concern you, even if they're just ordinary, everyday things. Why? Because God cares about the things that you care about. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. In Jesus' time, the basic needs would have occupied most people's thoughts a lot of the time. Food was a pretty basic need. Jesus is saying, you know, it's okay to ask God for the things that we need. Often we think, when we think about prayer, that we just need to be talking with God about the lofty things, about revival, about world peace, about social justice. And that's good. Actually, that's good. I'm going to quote Philip Yancey one more time from his book. He says this: I've learned to tell God exactly what I want, regardless of how impossible it may sound. When people ask why pray for something so idealistic and impossible, my response is this: what is the point of prayer if not to express our heart's desire, especially when it matches what we know of God's will on earth? Who knows what will happen when we pray what we know God desires? So it's good to talk about those big things with God. Maybe it's hard to keep a long conversation going about those kind of big idealistic things, but it's good to do that. But we can also talk about the things that are crowding in on our daily thoughts and our hearts, our concerns, and it's unnatural if we don't. What kind of relationship would it be? What kind of friendship would it be if you only ever talk about high and lofty things with one of your friends? We need to talk about the everyday things, the things that are worrying us. Jesus says we can, and we can ask our Father. As we seek to stay in continuous conversation with God, we can see prayer as talking with God about everything that occupies our minds. I wonder, have you ever started praying and 2 or 3 minutes later found yourself just thinking about what you're going to do later that day? Or found yourself answering an email and thinking, I don't even remember turning the computer on. Do you know, don't beat yourself up about that. What do you need to do? You don't need to say, oh, I'm so unholy, I need to get back to world revival. I must pray about world revival. Well, why not instead just talk through with God those things that are crowding in on your mind, first of all? Those things that are on your heart. Jesus said, pray the ordinary everyday things and concerns that you have. And then perhaps you'll find a measure of peace and assurance that allow you to then feel free to talk about something else. That famous verse in Philippians in the Message translation puts it like this. I think this is really good. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. And before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. You know, it's that classic question, isn't there? Should we pray for a parking space?
Yes.
Okay, some people are obviously sorted on that. Well, I would say if you're concerned about finding a parking space on a busy day, if you're under the pressure of time, if you're just bad at parking, then yes, of course you should. Just ask your Heavenly Father for what you need. That's what Jesus was saying. And we don't preach a prosperity gospel that says turn to Jesus and be rich and healthy, but we do believe in a Heavenly Father who loves to bless, who doesn't lack resources, and knows how to give good gifts to his children. So that should be our expectation when we pray. And the Bible encourages us time and again to pray for provision, for wisdom, for healing, for courage, for strength, for greater revelation of God's love. And it says that when we do, when we're being still and knowing that he's God, that the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Jesus says, bring your everyday things to him. He cares for you. Okay, time's up, so I'm just going to wrap up this last little bit quickly. The last thing that God invites us to do is to seek his help in just staying close with him, in keeping that open conversation, that sense of continuous encounter with him. Jesus said, when you pray, pray like this: forgive us our sins as we forgive others, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You know, God wants us to be able to walk closely with him, talking and listening, encountering with him. But he also knows that we lose the plot and we mess up. And that's why he invites us to make confessing our sins a regular part of our conversation with him. Not to wallow in guilt, because we know that if we're in Jesus, there's no more condemnation for us. Christ has paid the price for our sins, past, present, and future. Not so that we can just remind ourselves to try harder, because that's not what it's about either. It's so that we might know God's grace and be restored to intimacy. You know, when my children do something wrong or they disobey me, I still love them. I don't throw them out of the family. I don't disown them. Our legal relationship is still secure. They're still my daughters. I'm still their dad. And my heart towards them is still the same. But if they're unwilling to admit they're wrong or accept my guidance, do you know that keeps us from experiencing a closeness for a time? There's an atmosphere between us. Their hearts don't feel right. And as long as they stubbornly hold out, that remains. But as soon as they admit they're wrong, as soon as they ask for forgiveness, as soon as they become willing again, there is such a beautiful restoring of closeness and intimacy. And it's my delight to forgive them and to enjoy that closeness with them again. God loves to guide and discipline and forgive and restore us as a perfect Father. And so we need to be quick to confess our sins, not to wallow in guilt or remind ourselves to try harder, but to rejoice in his Father heart towards us, to be assured of his forgiveness, and to know the peace of his restoring grace that gathers us up into intimacy again. So Jesus said, you know, when you pray, just be quick to confess your sins. God knows them. He wants to restore you. We need to do that as often as we need to and as quickly as we can. Whether that's once in a day or 101 times in a day, we just need to be humble and willing to learn and respond and grow. And Jesus said, you know, pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. It's praying, God, as I stay connected to you, please lead me away from tempting situations where I might fall prey to evil. Please show me the way out when I do encounter temptation. And please give me the inner strength not to turn from you to something else. You know, we all have areas of weakness in our lives, and we're all very aware of what they are. I wonder how often we pray kind of proactively about those, not just doing the confessing when we mess up, but actually at the start of each day saying, God, you know, my weakness in this, help me with this. I don't want to lose my intimacy with you because of this. praying this doesn't mean that we're not going to be tempted. We will. We know we'll be tempted. But just praying proactively prepares us to stand strong and respond with truth in times of temptation. I'll just have the next slide up, please. Thank you. So just to recap then. What do we pray? We pray to touch God's heart. We remember and celebrate who he is. We open our hearts to know him and grow in our desire for his will in our lives. We talk about the concerns of our hearts to our Father who invites us to come and ask and share, who knows us, invites us to authenticity, and he invites us to guard our intimacy with him through his grace and his strength. And we're going to have a chance to do all these things together this week. I'll just have the last slide up. We've got our week of prayer coming up this week. And I guess we're going to be conversing and encountering with God on all those different kind of levels that I've been talking about. And it's good to do those individually, but it's great to be able to come together and do those things. So tonight we're going to be getting together here at 7 p.m. We're going to be giving ourselves to worship God and to enjoy his presence and open our hearts before him. So please, come along. Let's enjoy worshipping him together. And then tomorrow, what we're encouraging you to do, something different, get together with a friend at a time or a place that suits you. Grab someone to do that today or give them a ring if they're not here this morning and say, look, can we just get together for half an hour or an hour tomorrow and just pray together. Someone that you know that you can kind of trust, a friend, and just kind of pray some of the things that are on your heart, some of the things that are on your heart for your family, for your friends, for your situations. Bless one another, encourage one another. Let's do that on Monday. And then Tuesday, we're going to gather together again here, 7:30. Again, we're going to worship God. We're going to pray together out of that. And particularly, we're going to be thinking about different ministries in the church and mission in the church, things that we're wanting to pray for and see breakthrough in. And we're going to worship then. Wednesday, I just encourage you to get out on the streets and walk around your neighbourhood and pray for your neighbourhood. If you're here in Aylsham, then if you want to, we'll gather here at 7 o'clock just for a short time, and then we can kind of go out and spread out and pray around the town. If you live out in one of the villages or towns around, if there are others there from our church or from other churches who live near you, why don't you get together with them? Say, look, I'm going out on Wednesday evening. Do you want to come and join with me? Let's just pray together. Pray for our neighbourhood. Pray for those people that you know. Pray for, you know, as you walk past stuff, you walk past the school, pray for the school. As you walk past businesses, just pray God's blessing. Let's ask God's kingdom to come in our neighbourhoods. 7:30 on Thursday, we're going to be gathering here one more time, again, worshipping and praying together. We're going to have a particular emphasis of ministry together, praying for one another, and particularly praying about healing, praying for healing. And then to round the week off, we're going to do something really different. We're going to have a half night here. So we're going to gather at 7:30, and we're going to go through till midnight. Now, if you want to join us for that whole 4.5 hours, you are very, very welcome. There will be a caffeine station set up, probably out in the foyer, okay? So you can recharge yourself with caffeine as and when needed. If you just want to come for a while, you want to come for an hour, or half an hour, or 2 hours, maybe if you're a couple, your spouse can come along for a while, and then, you know, if you've got kids, you can kind of stay and babysit, and then you can swap over. And what we're going to do during that time is we're really not coming with a big agenda, but we're coming to enjoy God. So there'll be worship happening throughout the evening. And there'll be different areas set up around the hall so that you can just join in with the person who's worshiping at the front if you want to. Or if you want to go into the corner and pray, we'll have some areas set up with some different things to pray about. We'll have a board up here with some of the promises and the prophetic things that God's spoken over us. Hopefully some of the things that God speaks to us about this week. And we'll have those written up so you can just wander over, read through those, be stirred by those. Go and pray. You can just kind of grab people that are around and pray with them. It's just going to be a very relaxed, very kind of free evening. You can kind of come in and out. You can stay for the whole thing. When you're flagging a bit, you can go and grab yourself a coffee and a donut, and we'll kind of have refreshments out there. But it's just a time kind of, well, we're not having to look at the clock. We can just be open before God and just enjoy worshiping him and praying together. So I hope that sounds good. I hope you'll be able to gather with us. We're not meeting as growth groups this week. We're just giving ourselves to this. So please do join us with this. And let's continue on in this journey of encountering God and enjoying him and knowing what it means to pray together. So let's wrap up now. Let's just pray. And then we're going to share a time of tea and coffee, chatting together. But let's just commit ourselves. Let's stand together. Heavenly Father, thank you for the intimacy that you call us to know you. Thank you for the opening that you've made for us through your Son Jesus to know you as Father, to talk to you as Father, to come expectant before you as a Father who loves us and who wants to bless us and do good, who's always with us. Lord, teach us to be authentic and open in our prayer with you. Lord, not to mess around, not to think we've got to put on airs and graces and talk in a particular way, but Lord, just to touch your heart, to share what's on our heart, Lord God, but with that expectation that as we draw close to you, you want to share your heart with us. Lord, help us just to pour out our hearts to you and to listen to your heart for us. And to learn to know and to walk in obedience to that. Lord, we love you. We love spending time with you. Lord, we just love our time together. Thank you for being here with us this morning, for the way that you've met with us. Lord, we just commit this week to you. Lord, we just pray for some outstanding times of encounter with you in prayer. Lord, whether that's together, whether that's individually, whether that's in pairs, whatever it is, Lord, we just want to meet with you. And we want to grow in you. And we want to walk with you. So, Lord, we just thank you in advance for all that we're going to experience of you afresh this week. In the name of your Son, Jesus, and for his glory. Amen. Amen. Please do take your seat.